There's no doubt about it. The tide of anti-Semitism in America is rising to very dangerous levels. We confront it here today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
He took out his knife sword from a holder and started hitting people back and forth. He didn't say anything. He screamed after me when they came out here. He screamed after me, "Hey, you, I'll get you."
I have three patients right now down, heavy bleeding. I need multiple annulus, please, at least 4 to 5.
He moved to the front door. He could go straight into the kitchen, and the dining room is the first thing. First, he went into the dining room and hit a few people there, and then he went to the kitchen. He hit one guy there, and then he came back to the dining room.
What's going on? And that's the question that we don't have the answers, and people are genuinely scared.
Friends, this is a very serious moment in American history. Anti-Semitism is rising in ways in the nation that are unprecedented in our history. Physical attacks on Jews, we're talking about in synagogues, we're talking about on the streets here. The attacker Saturday night tried to get into a synagogue unsuccessfully. He went into the neighboring house of the rabbi where there was a Hanukkah celebration and started attacking Jews with a machete. Day after day, reports, a CNN article saying basically the week leading up to that, for every day of the week, there had been another anti-Semitic assault, physical assault attack on Jews. What is going on? This is Michael Brown. You are tuned in to The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884 is the number to call. Let's first get this in context. Let's understand what's been happening in New York. 5 stabbed as of Saturday, and then 1 in critical condition as of this moment. But in previous days, things had been going haywire to the point that Mayor de Blasio was going down into a Jewish area in Brooklyn and meeting with people and discussing things. I want you to hear an eyewitness testimony. Here's a Jewish woman in Brooklyn talking about what has recently happened.
A few hours ago, I was waiting for an Uber, and I was standing on the corner of Troy and Eastern Parkway. A guy pulled up, opened his window, and spat and drove away. That's what happened today. The incident on Union Street the other day, my daughter was tormented and harassed by the same group of people. And a few weeks prior, my son on Shabbos was walking, fully dressed in the Shabbos clothes, unprovoked. Someone came over to him and shoved him.
Are these the same people or different people?
No, probably different people. But yeah, this is what's happened within the last, I would say, 5-6 weeks.
All right, so this is becoming increasingly common. Mayor de Blasio said that he's even hearing from Jews to say, "We don't feel comfortable identifying as Jews in public." Friends, this has been happening in Europe. And it wasn't that long ago that leaders in Berlin, Jewish leaders in Berlin, said it's probably not safe to wear a yarmulke, to wear a kippah in public because you might be attacked for being a Jew. And Germany, Jews fleeing France, Jews fleeing England. Jeremy Corbyn's Labour Party, thankfully, was dealt a very serious blow in the recent election. But that party leaning treacherously towards anti-Semitism, leftist and anti-Semitic at the same time. It's not just right-wing anti-Semitism, it's left-wing anti-Semitism. It's on college campuses. It is all over the place. And here on the streets of New York, let's go back to this woman. And she talks about things that had happened a few days earlier.
Now, one of your children today walked out with a baton?
Yeah, my son walked out with a baton because he was threatened the other day, and I have to walk around with, I walk around with pepper spray on my bag. That's how I walk around. I think a lot of these incidents of the groups of youths is a game. I don't think they're doing it. They think it's a game to hit a Jew and run. If you remember a few years ago, it was that thing that they were smashing people. Now it's just exciting to do to Jews.
Yeah, so she is not specifically saying, well, it's targeted Jew hatred and trying to be all conspiratorial, but it's undeniable that Jews are getting targeted one after another in New York, in other parts of America, in synagogues, places of worship, killed in cold blood. And let's recognize that the synagogue shooters were white nationalists. All right. They were white men. Pittsburgh, all Jews must die, white nationalists. Poway, he's going to kill these Jews because they're trying to destroy the white race. Ironically, the Jews he's shooting are white as well. All right. And in the synagogue shooting, it was a professing Christian. Then you have in Jersey City, New Jersey, the shootings there with two blacks identified as black Hebrew Israelites. What about the stabbings now? This is another black man. So I'm pointing out this transcends ethnicity. You've got blacks doing it. You've got whites doing it. You've got white nationalists. You've got professing Christians. This is all going on in front of our eyes here in America. You've got radical Muslims. You've got Islamic ideology and its anti-Semitism. You get Israel being scapegoated. You add in the craziness of the black Hebrew Israelites and these other things. It is rising to dangerous proportions, and it must be confronted. Here's what happened recently in a subway in New York City. Here's an Israeli woman talking about what happened.
And I happened to sit next to a Jewish guy. As soon as I sat down, she was actually in the middle of hate speech about this Jewish man, how Jews are greedy and how they all should die. And she starts citing some words from the Quran and she kept saying, Allahu Akbar, Allah should kill you all, Allah will kill you all, Allah would delete you. It all happened very fast. She approached me and she grabbed my face, scratched my face, very, very painfully. And before I realized what's going on, I stood up and I fought back.
So, friends, I have read quotes from other rabbis and Jewish leaders saying they're shocked. They're shocked to see that these things are happening on American soil. It's one of the few countries where Jews have felt free to be Jews without looking over their shoulder all the time. Now, look, I understand that in every community you can have certain tensions. You can have relational tensions, ethnic tensions, racial tensions. These things exist. But this is now transcending it. It is over and above. As I point out in my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, we are dealing with things that must be understood as ultimately demonic. Now, the family of the attacker at the Hanukkah party has issued a statement, and they say, look, he is not a terrorist. He is not involved in a hate crime. He is mentally ill. The man is mentally ill. Let's listen to what the family has to say.
Grafton is not a terrorist. He is a man who has mental illness in America, and the systems that be have not served him well. Grafton has mental illness, and that is the source of his confusion and these actions.
Now, I don't know what his condition state is. God knows, and of course you feel terrible for that family as well. But here's the question. Here's my question, all right? If he is mentally ill, why didn't he take a machete? I'm not denying this. I have a question. If he is mentally ill, why didn't he take a machete and start killing blacks in his own neighborhood or killing Hispanics in another neighborhood or just killing random whites in another neighborhood? Why was it that he went to an ultra-Orthodox Jewish area and tried to kill Jews? All right, so either, as some journals allegedly say, that he kept that he did have anti-Semitic leanings or that he did have black Hebrew Israelite connections, whatever some of the surmisings are and what's being found, either that is the case, and maybe he's mentally ill and he bought into these things irrationally, or he's mentally ill and was just demonically inspired to attack and kill Jews. Either way, you have to realize, when you have white supremacists and black supremacists, and they can unite on basically one thing, which is they hate Jews, you realize this is something that goes beyond rational explanation only. When you have a situation where you have this in Islam, and you have it in the history of Christianity, and you have it among atheists and agnostics, this common Jew hatred, it is demonically inspired. It doesn't mean Jews are any more perfect or better than anyone else. It simply means it is demonically inspired. You say, no, no, no. There's hostility to Jews because Israel is a genocidal apartheid state. Well, that statement itself is false. That statement itself is an anti-Semitic statement, that Israel is an apartheid state or a genocidal state. But what, pray tell, led to all the anti-Semitism in Europe before Israel existed, before the modern state of Israel existed? And what led to it being found in different parts of Islam for centuries before that, so that the Nazis and other propagandists could just draw on this history? Friends, something else is going on, and the way this is going to be confronted with truth. Let's add in the crazy voices that we've heard of, quote, Christian anti-Semites. Let's add into all this some of the statements on True News by Rick Wiles, that the Jews own the White House and the Jews own Trump, and there's a civil war between Jews, those trying to keep Trump in the White House and those trying to get him out, and they're behind the impeachment process, and that ISIS didn't really exist and it was a Jewish conspiracy, or Israel was really doing it, or that Zionism is behind the sexual revolution. Nonsense like this. And then the things in a more academic form, but nonetheless dangerous, from a Catholic scholar like E. Michael Jones. Anti-Semitism must be confronted. It must be exposed. So here, recent events in New York, Orthodox Jewish woman talking right before, a day before the stabbings at the rabbi's home. And then a few weeks before that, the attack on the subway. And it's been steadily growing and rising. We must take it seriously. And the moment you talk about this, here's the tactic, all right? Here's what happens. The moment you talk about this, what happens is you're just playing the anti-Semitism card. You're just playing the race card. You're just trying to find an excuse because what? Because Jews are evil? Is that it? Because Jews control the economy? Because Jews control the world? What anti-Semitic lie is going to be raised? Let us confront this together. Whether we're Democrat, Republican, whether we're Black, white, Hispanic, Asian, Native American, whether whatever our religious background is, although if you're a radical Muslim, you're not going to want to join me in any of this, okay? And I'm not inviting you to join me. I'm inviting you to repent and get right with God. But hear me, friends. We must expose the lies. We must expose the lies, and we must pray. And to every follower of Jesus, I urge you, join me in fighting against this demonic spirit of anti-Semitism, and let Jewish people know in your community you have their back. You are their friend. You are there for them. You are with them, not against them. All right, friends, I've got to talk to you about something crazy Mayor de Blasio said, blaming some of this on President Trump. That and your calls when we come back. 866-348-7884. 866-34-TRUTH. You're going to hear from me.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us in this important broadcast on The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, the number to call. We're going to be very focused in our subject today. Just to give you an idea of the insanity of anti-Semitism, here's a comment on our YouTube channel by Eric. And by the way, it will be the last one he makes on the YouTube channel because we just don't allow trash like this. God is punishing fake Israel. So he's saying the reason that these Jews are being killed, stabbed, attacked, right? God is punishing fake Israel. Is God anti-Israel? Not at all. Just some Jews are fake Israel and God is judging them now. This kind of nonsense, this kind of garbage, these kinds of lies, this kind of deception without a stitch of truth behind it, scriptural or historical, is the type of junk that feeds into the hatred and leads to violent attacks against Jews. I have been warning for many months that the rhetoric that's out there is going to lead to more attacks against Jews, and it is happening in front of our eyes. All right. New York City Mayor de Blasio, so in the most Jewish city of America, was making appearances, Fox News, MSNBC, talking about the recent attacks on Jews, most recently the stabbings, the machete attack, the Hanukkah party on Saturday. Listen to what Mayor de Blasio has to say.
An atmosphere of hate has been developing in this country over the last few years. A lot of it is emanating from Washington, and it's having an effect on all of
us. Wait, so you're saying you're blaming the president by saying
not
it's coming from Washington?
I'm saying, but we have to be clear. We need a different tone starting in Washington,
okay,
which
so
we had, by the way, with Democrats and Republicans both in the White House, that encouraged this country to actually find some unity and some common ground. We
okay.
haven't had that.
Mayor de Blasio, that is absolute hogwash. You are going to blame a black man, perhaps with anti-Semitic background, attacking Jews in New York, Muncie, New York. You're going to blame that on Donald Trump, who earlier this month put out an executive order to combat anti-Semitism, who is the one that pushed against the disastrous deal, nuclear deal with Iran that could have threatened Israel's very existence as a nation that was forged under President Obama. He's the one that undid that. He's the one that moved the embassy to Jerusalem. He has been a truer friend to Israel than we've had in a long time. He has a daughter who is a convert to Judaism, the first man in the White House with a Jewish child, Jewish son-in-law. His grandchildren are Jewish. And this man is fighting anti-Semitism constantly, loudly, clearly. You're going to blame him for these attacks? Are you kidding me? And then to say that the hatred emanating from Washington, we didn't have it before, we were bipartisan and unified. With all respect, sir, President Obama, with whatever good he did, he was a terribly divisive president. And he would use various techniques to drive wedges between different groups of people in America and did it very effectively. Oh, yes, the divisions have continued and even deepened under this administration. But let's not paint a false picture as if there was bipartisan heaven in Washington before Donald Trump got there. No, all he's done is expose the depth of partisanship that is there and how little bipartisanship we have. And he's exposed the hatred that's out there. You say, yeah, but he has said things that have stoked the flames of white nationalists, mainly the way the media has portrayed what he said. He has plainly said that the neo-Nazis and the white supremacists and these others are terrible people that must be plainly condemned. But the media continues to put out a lie that he said that there were very fine people among the neo-Nazis and white supremacists and things, which is a complete misrepresentation of his words that's been demonstrated over and over again. It's the media that fans these flames. And again, what does white nationalism have to do with black attacks? The Jersey City market attack, the kosher market there, and the Muncie attack. What do those things have to do with Donald Trump? Absolutely nothing. This is baseless, dangerous rhetoric. Orthodox Jewish Rep. Dov Hilkin said this is childish. This is like kindergarten. You blame somebody else. But it's not just Mayor de Blasio. Look at what Representative Eric Swalwell said. Look at this tweet from December 29th. Anti-Semitism is on the rise in America, and it's being stoked by Donald Trump, who won't condemn it. He's condemned it over and over again. And Trump's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, who just this week said he's more Jewish than George Soros. Hey, I can point you to an article, a Jewish article in the Times of Israel, by saying Giuliani is more Jewish because Soros has completely rejected his Jewish heritage, and Soros fights against causes that benefit the state of Israel. And Soros is as anti-Jewish in many ways as any major leader financier on the planet. And with Giuliani's, that was Giuliani's whole point. To call that anti-Semitic is to get it completely upside down and wrong. And isn't it interesting that the squad, AOC and Representative Tlaib and Ilhan Omar and others, where's all their condemnation for all of these attacks? Where is the outright blatant condemnation of Jew hatred from some of these women on the left who have rightly at times been accused of anti-Semitic words or tendencies or comments, especially Omar and Tlaib? Friends, let us expose this for what it is. It is the left trying to use attacks on Jews, Jewish blood, for political purposes. Ben Shapiro, Orthodox Jewish columnist, thinker, Ben Shapiro has said this, that, and he had talked just a few weeks ago about how the left goes overboard to politicize anti-Semitism and use it for its purposes and make it all a problem on the right, forgetting all of the leftist problems, especially on university campuses. He said, if you're serious about combating it, don't blame it on others. Mayor de Blasio, Representative Swalwell, others, you need to do better. Hey, how about this? There is a spokeswoman, perhaps the one that could ultimately come up right under Louis Farrakhan as the next major leader. She has recently referred to Jews as blood-sucking parasites. And here, let me get her very words, not just blood-sucking parasites, but this is what she said. They are blood-sucking parasites who sell us alcohol, drugs, depraved sex, and every other type of low-life thing. This is some of the rhetoric that's out there. It's on the left. It's on the right. It's in Islam. It's in Christianity. It's in the black community. It's in the white community. It is out there. It is demonic. To blame it on President Trump is a complete cop-out. Not just a cop-out. It's unethical. It's wrong. It's inaccurate. It's sinful. Own up. Do the right thing. And sir, Mr. de Blasio, as mayor of New York, the city is looking to you for help. Rather than pointing to Washington, do what you can to bring about change in New York. Sir, that is my respectful appeal to you. All right, 866-34-TRUTH. With that, we go to the phone, starting with Jeff in Massachusetts. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Mike. Now, as far as this attack is concerned on the synagogue, here is the thing, which is, I believe it's going to get far worse in America. The common denominator among these lone nuts is that they act alone. I hate to say this, and I'm a believer, and your program is spot on, but the born-again churches are not ready for Islamic communist cell groups of 6 to 12 or 20 to start hitting churches like these other countries. And this is where I believe the church will go underground, like in the book of Acts. We're going to get back to normal again. In a weird kind of a way.
So, in other words, you feel you've had isolated attacks, but there are sleeper cells in America, radical Islamic and others, that are going to rise up. And when they do, things are going to go haywire, even if it's not state-sponsored persecution. The state is not ready to stop it, and that is going to drive Christians underground. And then you find out who the real believers are and who they aren't. That's what you're expecting to happen.
Oh, yes. But because our borders are wide open, because Trump hasn't built the wall yet, Trump's doing what he can do, but I believe it's too little too late because of people like Clinton, people like Obama, people like the Bushes. They have not put their foot down in stopping illegal immigration. And because of that, in Boston, for instance, we have the Boston Islamic Center, which the Boston Marathon bomber came from the Cambridge Mosque, which is a sister mosque to the Boston Islamic Center. So simply put, these mosques are going to be the military centers for Islamists, and you also have communists like Antifa and other groups in America just waiting for the right time to rise up and strike, and then America will be turned into Lebanon. If you want to know where America is going towards, look at the civil war in Lebanon, look at these other countries, and what you will wind up seeing is Homeland Security protecting office buildings, utility places, and churches. That's what I see coming. And the real churches will meet in houses, just like in the book of Acts. Dr. Brown, I thank you for having me on, and do have a very great day. Bye-bye.
All right, thanks, Jeff. Hey, what do you think of what Jeff had to say? Do you think that's crazy, impossible, just out there? Or do you think there could be truth to what he's saying? Feel free to weigh in. Wanted to give him a hearing? Let him put that out there. For sure, I do believe we're going to see all kinds of upheaval in America in the days ahead. And I do expect to see persecution rise against believers, even here in America. And I do expect some level of sifting so you can see those that are truly following Jesus and those who are just into some religion that seems to be like a good financial deal for them or a good deal, you know, all this in this world and heaven in the world to come. I expect all that. How's it going to happen? What degree of turmoil shaking? That's a whole other story. 866-34-TRUTH is the number to call. even if you think the comments were extreme, do you see the danger of radical Islam on the shores of America increasing rather than decreasing? We'll be right back. Change the world.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. This is Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. Hey, let me speak to you for one moment from the heart. If you have been following this broadcast for years, listening on radio, listening on podcasts, watching online, you know that we rarely talk about money. A little bit more at the end of the year, but we rarely talk about money. Whole shows go by, we don't talk about money. You think, well, is that the stations pay you to be on? No, we pay for airtime. There are some that air it for free, but when you're hearing us live Monday through Friday, that's airtime we're paying for. Well, you've got independently wealthy people that sponsor you. No, we got folks just like you. That's how we do it. And we pray. We pray in funds. And at the end of the year, this is a great time. It just enables us to close out the year well and then move into the new year well. Many of you homeowners, family, you know what that's like. Business people, you know what that's like. And because in ministry, things just slow down a bit for travel for a few weeks, that this is a wonderful time to sow into our ministry with a year-end tax-deductible gift. And you might say, I can't give them more than like $5. Do you know if each of you gave $5, that would make a massive difference and enable us to do so much in the year ahead? Some of you can give $50, some $500, some $5,000, some more. But here's what I want you to know. It will all be used for the glory of God. It will all be used for holy purposes. It will all be used to take the gospel to America and the nations and the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It will all be used to amplify this voice, your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Just think, for every station we're on now, if we could be on 10 stations more or 100 stations more. Just think, for every 1,000 people watching us on YouTube, or 10,000, it was an extra 100,000 or extra million. Just think if we could get this message out, and you know, we won't do it with hate. We won't do it with anger. We'll stay close to the scriptures. We'll speak the truth in love. We will do a good job of representing you. We have wide open doors to expand this broadcast all over America and to increase its width and breadth on the internet. We're praying, and as we pray, we know that we receive help from each of you. So if you can do this, whether your gift is large or small, if you've been blessed by the ministry, by the articles that we put out, by the videos, the Consider This videos, the debates that we post for you, the thousands of free resources we make available on our website, on our YouTube channel, if we've been a blessing to you, if we've been a help to you, your one-time year-end gift would be a great blessing. Now, if you happen to hear the broadcast or watch the broadcast at the beginning of the year, your gift will be of great help also. But this is your last opportunity today and tomorrow to get in a year-end tax-deductible gift. And I know many folks do that. They say, okay, I want to make an extra contribution. And in America, we have the benefit of these things helping us with our taxes as well. So let's take advantage of those blessings. But wherever you are around the world, stand with us right now if you can. Your gift, large or small, don't let that stop you. Just go to AskDrBrown.org, AskDrBrown.org, AskDrBrown.org. Click on donate with your one-time year-end gift, or if you want to become a monthly supporter helping us with a dollar or more per day, join our support team. You can do it. Click on monthly if you want to be a monthly supporter, or donation for a one-time donation. But thank you for standing with us. And again, this is about us doing this to reach and serve and help more people. That's what it is about. 866-34-TRUTH is the number to call. Okay. All right. Wow, look at this. Another YouTube comment. Zionists must be destroyed. They promote white and black genocide and interracial marriage. Whoa. Check that out. All right. And this is Dathip is the name. So male or female, you will also be banned. We will not allow those type of lies to be posted. Interestingly, these folks are also recommending True News that we've exposed for its anti-Semitism, an evangelical news network that we've exposed for its anti-Semitism. Isn't it interesting that that comment from Dathip not only falsely accused Zionists of being genocidal, all right, and saying that they don't want to wipe out whites and blacks, but they promote interracial marriage. Obviously, you got either a white supremacist or a black supremacist, okay? And then how about this one? I just want you to see what's out there as we expose the lies. Rad TV made this comment. I expect Trump to continue to dance while he ignores treason by those involved in 9/11. In other words, the Israelis, the Jews are responsible for 9/11. Oh, yeah. They're the ones, and Trump's ignoring that. You have to understand, friends, we're bringing this to your attention so that you see how this happens in a society. So you see how a society becomes desensitized. You say, only crazy people believe that. Number one, plenty of people believe these things who are well-educated, who hold normal jobs, who otherwise have normal family lives, and some of them attend church and sit right next to you, okay? So don't just think it's a mentally deranged person sitting there drooling and they can't even give you their name. No. You're talking about educated people. You're talking about university professors. You're talking about religious leaders. You're talking about homeschooling moms. You're talking about hardworking dads. People out there of all stripes believe these lies. And then they spread and they multiply. Now, let me throw out another perspective for you, all right? One of my colleagues, John Zmirak, writes at The Stream, Catholic, constantly challenging the Pope on different issues. And he wrote to me and said, Mike, just face it. There's envy. There's envy. In other words, that maybe when you went to school in your community, the Jewish kids were a little richer. Or the Jewish kids did better in school. Or they seemed to have certain advantages you didn't have. Was there anything in you that made you a little hostile, a little negative? Okay. A little negative towards Jews, all right? Or maybe they didn't want to, maybe they were a little bit more religious, didn't want to eat with you, and you felt like they thought they were better than you. And maybe some of them were a little arrogant. Maybe some of them were a little proud, all right? Maybe some of them knew how to work the system, whatever. Did that plant a subtle seed? And then someone says, look, Facebook, look at all the stuff that Facebook does, and they're against Christians, and Mark Zuckerberg, look at that, and Google, they're trying to suppress free speech. And look at the founders of Google, Jewish. And look who's financing so many of these leftist, anti-Christian, anti-conservative organizations. It's George Soros, and he's Jewish. It is the Jews. And look at who's leading it. You know, Nadler and Schiff and these guys that are in the front of the impeachment process against the present Jews. There is some. And you start to buy in. Then someone else says, look, Jesus said you're of your father, the devil. See, he said all the Jews are of the devil. And all they would do is lie and murder. You see, and they're not, and the Jews, they claim to be Jews. They're not real Jews. They're the synagogue of Satan. And Jesus said that too. So you get some verses taken out of context, misunderstood, right? And then maybe there's some, I'm just throwing out the John Zmirak part, right? Maybe there's some envy or some jealousy or, so there's life experience makes you a little negative and antagonistic, right? All that. And then add in, on top of that, the wrong theology. Maybe you've got some Islamic background, and you've got that radical anti-Israel, anti-Jewish theology. And then biased reporting about Israel today, you add it all up. It makes for a very toxic, dangerous mix. It really, honestly does. You say, well, what about other issues? Like, what about systemic racism in America? I've addressed that. Many a time. We'll continue to. Why can't you address more than one issue at once? Is that it? The fact that I'm pro-life, does that mean I can't speak out against LGBT activism? Is that what that means? The fact that I speak out about systemic racism where it exists in America means I can't speak out against another form of systemic racism, anti-Semitism? Come on. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Jonathan in Williamston, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Michael Brown. Good to talk to you again. I just want to say I just finished Go and Sin No More and just got Playing with Holy Fire for Christmas. Look forward to reading that.
Excellent. So glad to hear that.
But I had a question. I was talking to another Pentecostal guy that went to kind of a non-denominational church, and he was real big into conspiracy theories. And I talked to him for a while at Walmart the other day, and he mentioned some things that really shocked me. I wanted to get your opinion on. He had talked about how in 1948, when the state of Israel was reestablished for the Jewish people, that was not fulfillment of prophecy, because when God scattered the 10 northern tribes, he never brought them back. And he mentioned a verse out of Revelation that says, "Beware those that say they're Jews, but are of the synagogue of Satan." He said they're fake Jews. They're not really Jews. All these people that say they're Jews, is it Ashkenazi Jews that look Caucasian? You know, they're not really Jewish people. They converted 1,300 years ago. I kind of wanted to get your – that was the main thing I wanted to ask you first, your take on that.
Yeah, well, it's all the – what he did is blended together several lies and put them all in one. Number one, the 10 northern tribes were not totally scattered. There were members of the 10 northern tribes that became part of the Jewish people as a whole. That's why they're referenced in the New Testament, you know, this one being of the tribe of Asher, and Paul referencing the 12 tribes that serve God, and Jacob referencing the 12 tribes scattered abroad. So what happened was that some of the 10 tribes were completely exiled, but others stayed where they were, and others just went south to Judah and became part of the larger Jewish people. So we have among us all of the 12 tribes of Israel. That's number one. Number two, in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, Jesus was referring to specific Jews who opposed the preaching of the gospel, who were fighting against the Christians in Smyrna and in Philadelphia, and said they claim to be Jews, but they're not. They're the synagogue of Satan. It would be like calling Christians hypocrites. You're not really Christians. You're more of the devil than of the Lord. On the other hand, it's possible they weren't Jews at all, because he said they say they're Jews and they're not. In point of fact, it's possible that they were Gentiles who claimed to be Jews. As for the Ashkenazis allegedly coming from the Khazars, that's been rebutted over and over and over again. So tell you what, Jonathan, I'm going to send you a copy of my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood. All right? So let's just jot that down with our team here, make sure he gets it. Call Screener is going to come on with you in a moment, get your address. Since you read one of my books, you're about to read another. You're about to get one more. In Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, we completely debunk this nonsense about the Khazars and that they are the people, the Jewish people today. Nonsense. We'll be right back.
Next, it's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So here's the deal. This whole idea of the conversion of the kingdom of Khazaria, roughly 1,300 years ago, the conversion of the people to Judaism, and they are the ones who are today's Jews, so Ashkenazi Jews like me. I'm 90% Ashkenazi, 10% Sephardic, that we're not really Jews. Of course, someone would have to explain my 10% Sephardic background. But these lies have been around for a long time. The evidence continues to mount on every level against the lies, but people hold to them. Now, by the way, if people did convert to Judaism and became part of the Jewish people, they'd be recognized as Jews. We understand there's been conversion into Judaism for centuries, which is why you have black Jews and white Jews and Asian Jews and things like that, all right, because there's been conversion in. We understand that. And that's how Ruth became part of the people of Israel, or Rahab became part of the people of Israel, through conversion and through joining the people and worshiping and following the God of Israel. But as for the kingdom of Khazaria, so that would be like southern Russia, parts of Ukraine, Kazakhstan, around there, roughly 1,300 years ago, How many converted is still a matter of debate. Was it just the ruling elite? Was it some of the people? We don't know. But even if many converted, it would make up a tiny, 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 tiny fraction of the larger Jewish population. And you see, this has been demonstrated in terms of that today's Jews are not Khazar converts, all right, except for maybe just a tiny little fraction, as you have fractions from many other different groups. It's been refuted linguistically. It's been refuted historically. It's been refuted archaeologically. It's been refuted through DNA. But does that matter? No. Why? Because it's based on lies. It is based on lies. Very interesting. Jake Tapper, stating that the Jewish community fears the media downplaying these recent attacks because the killers aren't white supremacists. Yeah, how much more is the media going to be over this when you have, say, a synagogue shooting in Pittsburgh, of course, the deadliest, most horrific of them all, shouting all Jews must die, and here he is, a white supremacist or white extreme white nationalist. Maybe there won't be as much attention because the attackers don't fit into that narrative. Certainly could be. It is certainly possible. All right. I'm changing subjects because there is another tragedy over the weekend. A church in Texas, during communion, during service, gunman walks in, kills two people before he is killed immediately by a gun-carrying church member. It was actually videotaped because it was being live-streamed. So you had people sitting in the church service, traditional pews, older congregation, it seems, and you see someone coming in from the left, and suddenly you hear the gunshots. I mean, the volume, the sound of it is shocking. You get a little glimpse of the terror that must have been there. People start screaming. And then you see immediately a guy in the back shoots and it kills him instantly. So he didn't just have a gun, seemed to be a good shot. Shoots, kills him instantly. Others with guns start moving towards him. And I just posted this poll on Twitter, and maybe I can take a few calls. 866-34-TRUTH is the number to call. 866-348-7884. Maybe I can take a few calls. What's your take on this? Here you have a situation in Texas where you do not have a gun-free zone. You have people coming to church services who are licensed to carry, so concealed carry. They are in there in the church services, just church members with guns, right? And a gunman comes in and is instantly cut down. Does that present a stronger argument for you against gun-free zones? You don't want to have a gun-free zone because that means the only person in that zone that can have a gun is a criminal, is someone that's willing to break the law, so that anyone else there, any law-abiding citizens, will not have guns. And by the time they call the police, there could be a massacre. There could be 10 or 20 or 30 people killed. The police doing their very, very best, unless they happen to be driving by that building at that specific second. It's going to take them some minutes to get there, doing their utmost, doing their very, very best. Does this present an argument for people to be able to carry guns, an argument against gun-free zones, because you would have seen far more bloodshed, far more devastation, had someone not been able to shoot and kill and take this person out immediately? Or is it an argument for gun-free zones because you just don't want people carrying guns around? And the more people carrying guns around, the more situations you can have where people are getting shot in church buildings, getting shot in movie theaters, and getting shot in malls, and getting shot wherever they're getting shot. What's your take? Is this an argument for gun-free zones or against gun-free zones? I'm just looking now at the Twitter poll. I posted it minutes ago, just during our last break is when I posted it. In your view, since a gun-carrying church member killed the shooter in Texas on Sunday before more lives could be taken, does this raise a good argument for less gun-free zones, or is it the opposite? And thus far, just 173 votes, or 185 votes thus far, 80.5% said less gun-free zones. Less gun-free zones. And 11.9% say more, 7.6% not sure. So that's interesting in terms of these results. I'm not a gun person, personally. I didn't grow up around guns. My dad being a lawyer in the New York Supreme Court, born in New York City, raised in Long Island, I didn't grow up around guns. My dad was not a hunter. We didn't go fishing. A couple times I've gone fishing, I thoroughly did not enjoy it. And the last time when we went with family in Maryland, apparently I got West Nile virus some years back. So I didn't grow up with any of that. One of my sons is a hunter. He's got the whole family out fishing. He and his son, 16, go hunting together. And they would say you grow up with guns, you learn to be responsible with guns, and it's very safe to be around, and you don't have problems with those kind of people. It's the ones that are the criminals and the lawbreakers that you have problems with. All right. So that would be his take, his mentality. But I didn't grow up around guns personally. There are folks very close to me that are licensed to conceal and carry. And I only found that out, known them for years, only found that out more recently. But when I look at this, since it does seem that in our world, in our society, people are able to get guns, that you're just not going to stop people from getting guns, that it seems to me that if you have responsible people that are in your midst who are law-abiding people, there's no issue with them ever in acts of, you know, they're beat people up or attack people or anything like that, that the best antidote to some of this violence is to have less gun-free zones because the bad guys come in. That's what it seems to like to me. Again, I'm not an expert on gun issues and things like that, but it seems most of the terrible, terrible murders, the horrific acts that take so many lives, take place in gun-free zones. Now, you can say I'm inaccurate in saying that. Fine. That's just what I understand, having looked at this over the years and the Sandy Hook massacre and those horrific types of things, or the Colorado theater shooting. Horrific, horrific acts. In any case, people are hurting. People are mourning. People are in shock. A shooting in a church. What caused it? What was behind it? What were the shooter's motivations? If the data is out there, I haven't seen it yet. But here's something utterly, utterly moving to hear. The daughter of a deacon that was killed in the church shooting. This is her dad died 24 hours ago. She said, "I forgive him," and that's the hardest thing to say. I forgive him, and that's the hardest thing to say. Wow. So he's dead. He's dead. He's gone. The father's gone from this world, and the shooter is gone from this world. So it's not a matter of, will the shooter go before the court? Will the shooter be sentenced to life in prison or a death penalty? He's gone. He's dead. And what his judgment will be in the world to come, God knows. God knows. And he will certainly pay for his sins. What's remarkable, though, is that a Christian woman has enough of Jesus in her to forgive someone that in cold-blooded murder took her father's own life. That can only happen through the gospel. That can only happen through the gospel. There's no other way. No other way. Let me say this. Yeah, someone might be able to say the words outside the gospel, but is when we receive mercy and forgiveness from God through the gospel that we're able to extend it to others. May God bring comfort and help to these Christian families, to the bereaved, to those in shock. May God bring comfort to the Jewish community of New York. May there be an outpouring of God's grace and goodness on those who are hurting as they look to him. May there be comfort. And may every Christian in greater New York rise up and communicate to their Jewish friends and neighbors, we're here with you. We are not your enemies. We're your friends, and we're standing with you. And when you are attacked, we are attacked. As much as you may look at us as different, and as much as we divide deeply over our faith in Jesus, we want you to know that we consider you, in another sense, our brothers and sisters, and we're here for you. Tomorrow, we're going to look back 50 years, 1969 until 2019. Talk about what's coming in 2020.